Grace to you, mercy and peace from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This morning, the Old Testament reading is a little cumbersome because the story is much longer than we would read ever on a Sunday morning. But it's about Jacob, a biblical dreamer. Likely you know the story about the ladder set up to heaven in Jacob's dream. This morning's episode is specifically called Not a Dream. But the truth is that no story in the Bible has more the marks of a dream. Perhaps specifically, a nightmare. So I would like to talk with you a bit this morning about dreamers and wonder together, are you one? Good dreams, bad dreams. In elementary school, I was labeled a daydreamer. Staring out the windows, they said way too much. Today they would put a label on me. We won't talk about that. When I was 9 or 10 years old, I went through a period of not wanting to go to bed for fear of dreams. In time, I have come to believe that dreams, both good and troubling, are a part of the way that our minds work, and the stuff in our lives are a part of the way that our minds work and are important, and perhaps even the way that God speaks to us in our lives. In my case, I learned that my dreams were ultimately related to my fears and also my hopes. But this morning I want to remember before you a lady named Anna, a person that I knew only at the time that she was a resident of Charlestown, the western twin to Oakcrest. She had been a member of the congregation in Lutherville since before the church moved away from Broadway and to Lutherville and built the new building, and you know all the stuff that goes around building and money and all the worries that are a part of that. Yeah. But on one particular visit, she confronted me. Pastor, is it true that the church has burned down? No. But she clearly had a picture in her head from her dreams. I thought that I managed to convince her otherwise. My role in her dreams was to speak a conversation. But the next time I visited her, she asked me once again, is it true that the church has burned down? No, Anna. For the next 3 visits, we went through her fears again and again. I'm not sure that she ever settled in her mind. Her dreams were an image of her worst fears. And I am sure there are some of you, having been through the struggles of this community of faith, might wonder as well. So finally, back to Jacob and his dreams. Certainly you will remember Jacob for his famous ladder dream into heaven. Today's dream is a bunch more difficult. Do you remember that Jacob was born as a twin, grabbing the heel of his slightly older twin in the process of birth? And he had more than enough to toss about that night as he prepared to ford the stream at Jabbok to encounter the anger of that brother. You see, Jacob was alone as he prayed, and he fell into a troubled sleep, and he tossed and he turned as he dreamed. He had been wrestling from the beginning, born grasping the heel of Esau and stealing the birthright of Esau by tripping his father with a pot of stew. He had tricked his father into bestowing on him the blessing due to the slightly older twin. But Jacob didn't win all of his struggles. He was eventually deceived by the man that he hoped would be his father-in-law. By marrying Laban's older daughter instead of the younger Rachel, whom he dearly loved, and went through that over and over again as Laban tricked him again and again to stretch out the process. Eventually, however, he deceived his father-in-law and escaped with everything he wanted. Until now. At least some of his past conflicts were coming home to roost. As he lay down to sleep by the crossing at Jabbok. You see, called by God, he had moved south from the lands of his father-in-law into the country where his brother Esau now lived. And in the process, heard that Esau, with 400 men, call that an army, was coming to meet him. Jacob was worried as he sent his servants ahead of him with a huge gift of livestock for his brother. It was with a dreaded meeting on his mind that Jacob lay down to sleep as he prayed and fell deeply into what must have been a nightmare. Can you imagine Jacob's prayer that night? Can you imagine his sleep as he tossed and turned? He wrestled in his sleep with his past deeds. It was those decisions that brought him to this point in life. And he wrestled with his future as he prepared to meet his brother, whose wrath he was sure to experience. And he wrestled with God, because it was God who had beckoned him to leave the lands of his father-in-law Laban and return to his ancestral home in the south. It must have been quite a sleep that night. He managed to damage his hip in an injury that left him with a limp. But he also awoke, reassured that God still walked with him. No matter how it seemed, God would walk with Jacob. This Jacob, whose sons would nominally head the tribes of Israel. Jesus tells a parable that has come to be called the parable of the unjust judge. This is the guy who cares for nothing about justice or people, but whom a powerless widow keeps coming to him saying, "Give me justice." And finally, he gives in, lest he be worn out by the constant approaches of this persistent woman. The point has been taken that we should keep praying to God until God gives in. But God is no unjust judge. The point, rather, is that when we are tempted to give in, God will be by our side, and God will finally grant justice. So pray. We are impatient. We get frustrated. We wonder. But God will get it done. Stick at it. And God will make it happen. And when you wonder, pray. And keep on praying. But there is a caveat, and it haunts me these days. The last sentence of the gospel reading this morning goes like this: when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Surely, God will answer prayers. But will he find faith on earth? It worries me. So we pray, and I beg you to pray as well, that we may trust and know that God finally, no matter how our dreams go, that God will give us peace and hope and healing and life. Amen.